You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is. It is Carlin. It is 98.7 ESPN. It is 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Hoping you enjoyed your holiday weekend. We finally know what and who Sam Darnold is. And that is where we begin tonight. We'll get into Adam Gase if we must. I feel like at times we're contractually obligated with as bad of a coach as he is. It's almost like I'm doing you a disservice if we don't talk about Adam Gase and how awful it is and how just utterly ridiculous it is at times. We'll get into all of that, but we will also spend some time on the New York Giants and the situation with Daniel Jones and what it all means and what it actually means for the future of someone else that's very important in this organization. At Chris Carlin over on Twitter, by all means, join us there. So, finally, the Jets get Sam Darnold with all of his weapons. Of course, they're down to their third string tackle. Of course, they're going to sit Alex Lewis down because he told the coach to go you know where last week. That's all fine. But they get him to work with all of his weapons. And I get it. Hasn't been very long. Maybe unfair to judge. Maybe not, though. Because I think those three words, unfair to judge, carry a new meaning in the NFL now. They carry no meaning. That's the new meaning. Everybody gets judged every day, and they get judged by one thing, and that's simply results. And we could talk about, as we have ad nauseum, all the different reasons why Sam Darnold has not had a fair shot here in New York and has not been able to prove himself to be the ultimate franchise quarterback for the New York Jets. But the fact is, he hasn't proven that he's the ultimate franchise quarterback for the New York Jets. So I was thinking about it today. How do you judge somebody like that? So you go back through and you look at winning quarterbacks over the last 15 years or so. And they really fall into three different categories. And these are quarterbacks, when I'm defining winning, they're guys who have been to Super Bowls. Fair? I think so. You have your Bradys, your Mannings, your Mahomes, your Russell Wilson, your Aaron Rodgers types, your John Elways, your Troy Aikmans, going back even further, guys who are dynamite franchise quarterbacks and Hall of Fame players, and there's never any doubt about what their standing was, what their standing will be in the future. It will always be revered for who they were. And by the way, when I'm talking about Manning, I'm talking about Peyton. Then you have the next level, the Eli Manning. So yeah, won two Super Bowls. Not an all-time great quarterback, though. Pretty darn good one. You've got guys like Cam Newton, who has won an MVP in the league. You've got guys like Kurt Warner, who won MVPs in the league. You've got guys like Matt Ryan, who won an MVP in the league. But they haven't been able to do it over the long haul. Jared Goff might be in that group. At some point, he's gotten a team to a Super Bowl. And then you've got the third group. This is the group where Sam Darnold fits. The group where everything has to be just right to go and have success. It doesn't mean that you're Trent Dilfer, okay? It doesn't mean you have an all-time great defense and that's why your team is winning. It doesn't mean you're Jim McMahon. What it does mean is that you fall into the category of somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo last year, of somebody that had a great defense, had playmakers on offense, and could win games as a result. You fall into the category of a guy like Jake Delhomme, who took the Carolina Panthers to a Super Bowl and was a great story, but he was average at best over the entirety of his career. You've got the Brad Johnsons of the world. You've got the Kerry Collins. You've got the Chris Chandlers. the Neil O'Donnells, the Stan Humphreys. This is where it feels like Sam fits. Because I don't think there's one of us who would really disagree with the notion that we think that if he's given the proper weapons to work with, Sam could go win. And if he's got a really good team around him, Sam could potentially take a team to a Super Bowl. I think we know that the ability is somewhere in there, even though we have only at times seen very small flashes of it. But you watch a game like yesterday, where he does have playmakers, and you see a flash or two, and you could see, I would argue more so, you can see where Denzel Mims is going to be a great receiver, more than you can see that Sam's going to be a great quarterback. You can see Mims go up and attack the football and go try to make plays for his quarterback. You see Sam trying to make plays, but he ends up throwing interceptions, decisions that he knows, frankly, are bad. And those decisions, they still rear their ugly heads. So my conscience is clear about where all of this is headed, and yours should be too. We're all in the same boat of rooting for the Jets to get the number one overall pick. Tankathon 2020 in full effect. If the whole year's going to go down the crapper, the whole season should for the Jets anyway. And hopefully, well, this is not the way to put it. On the other end, Trevor Lawrence is sitting there waiting for you. At the very least, there is something to look forward to. Trevor Lawrence can be one of those all-time great quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence can be on that level with Mahomes and Manning and Russell Wilson and all those things. He's got that kind of talent and ability. If you're here to tell me about how the Jets are going to ruin him too, take it elsewhere. This coach isn't going to be the coach. And the second you have that mentality, you've already given up. You're not looking at the facts. The facts of having 10 picks in this upcoming draft, including two ones, a two, and two threes, and a couple more in the fifth round. They have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. You can get a lot done right there. They have a ton of money to spend in free agency. You can get a lot done there. If you have all of that and Trevor Lawrence, all of a sudden, it's a turnaround that can happen within 2 to 3 years. And you can be right on the doorstep pretty shortly and have that to look forward to. And part of it is Sam. Part of it is making sure that the ability that he has doesn't go unrecognized by other teams. And it won't. A team like the 49ers will look at him and say, this guy is a better option even than Garoppolo, even than what we have, because we know that with the likes of Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Kittle when he's healthy and all those guys, that Sam can go out there and win football games for them when they're going to have a very good defense in the future. This is what Sam is. He is in this third tier of quarterbacks, not the atrocious quarterbacks. No, he's in the tier of quarterbacks that can win when everything is just right. That's not the tier you necessarily want to be in, but you can make a living doing it. You can absolutely make a living doing it. And that's what Sam's going to be doing. It's going to be elsewhere, though. Can we be clear on that? For all you Darnold truthers, it's time to let go. It's time to understand that he is not the best option for the future of this franchise. And please, please, I know how much you've been hurt. I understand that. Understand that at some point the tide is going to turn. You saw it turn with Rex the first couple of seasons. And yes, then it got away from you. Didn't quite get over the hump. You're talking about the ability to bring in a lot of quality players, including a franchise quarterback, in the truest sense of the phrase, and being able to do it in a short period of time. Vamanos. Justin in Cedar Grove is going to start us off tonight on 98.7 ESPN. Justin, what's cooking, brother?
Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm outstanding. How you doing?
I'm all right. Would have to agree with you in terms of Darnold. Hey, one thing about Mims. Who does he remind you of? What former Jet in terms of size and speed and that downfield presence? I want to see if you think like me. Former Jet from about 30 years ago. What do you think?
Al Toon.
Very good. Home run for you already, right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think he's bigger physically than Al Toon. But he is, you want to say he's that kind of player? Hey, I'd sign up for him to be Al Toon immediately. You know what, Justin? You can watch Mims go up for these footballs. And even the one that he didn't catch down at the goal line, he gives you a chance. Like, you can see everything you need to see right now from Denzel Mims. As long as he can stay healthy, he can be a tremendous receiver.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a little early, but you see the effort, you see what he has in terms of potential, and then you look at Quentin Williams is playing lights out right now. Becton is doing very, very well. So the reason
I
say
that is,
you
have to feel good about the draft. I mean, even Bryce Hall has played pretty well. Yeah. Bryce Hall's done a really good job.
Yeah, Hall I've been kind of itching to see. I know he was hurt for a while, but he was a guy at Virginia that was projected high, and then I think he got hurt, and he kind of slipped in the draft a little bit. But you look at those guys. For years, I would never trust anyone on the Jets to make any draft pick. I mean, history kind of proves that. But moving forward, having all these draft picks, and they've hit on a few, but in terms of Darnold, you know, he made his name in that Rose Bowl against Penn State, and then after that, it was kind of an okay career, but the biggest knock on him was turnovers, and clearly that's been the consistent theme with him. And, you know, when he drops back, rarely do you see him just plant his foot and just drive it. It's always a scramble, a rollout, maybe a bad decision. I really have no issue with them. Just, you know what, it's time to move on. However, my fear as a Jets fan, as always, if they either win a game or two, or Lawrence stays in college, or something happens where we don't end up with them. That's the life of being a Jets fan, though.
All right, so with that in mind, and thanks for the call, I get it. I absolutely get it. You're worried about what this is going to look like, about winning a game the rest of the way. We'll get to why that's not going to happen in just a little while, but I just want to give you, I got to get a liner made or something, you know, the big announcer voice saying, Tankathon update. Brian, let's see if we can get that with some dramatic music. Because this week, Jacksonville has, they make a trip to Minnesota, who won that game yesterday. Then they have Tennessee at home, at Baltimore, Chicago at home, at Indianapolis. The best shot here is going to be the Bears at home. The Bears, I mean, if you watched any of last night's game, that was god-awful. It was so bad. You're going to need the Bears to really stink on ice that day for Jacksonville to go win that game. Because, again, I would point this out. The Jets' schedule is so tough that if they lose one game, they actually lose more than one spot. They fall into that second spot. They don't just, lose the game. They lose the first overall pick. Even if they and Jacksonville have one win apiece, Jacksonville will get it because their schedule is softer than the Jets'. So you got five left. Las Vegas, at Seattle, at the Rams, Cleveland, at New England. Guys, I told you a few weeks ago, Belichick was not super duper trying to win that game on that Monday night. Don't be shocked if it's the same case again. Don't be shocked. In that week 17, if they have no chance at doing anything, they will absolutely not play everybody. Absolutely. I mean, that's a man who's tried drop kicks with Doug Flutie in week 17, if memory serves. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Open lines. Let's hit him. Tyler is in Connecticut next. Tyler, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me on the show.
You got it.
I just got to say, man, I'm sitting here listening. How pitiful of a conversation is this of really waiting for the Jets to tank the season? And if I was this kid Lawrence, I mean, I would not come out of college. I mean, he made such a lobby for the SEC to suit up and play this year, you know, amid all the COVID, you know, chaos that's going on. And, you know, if I were him, I really would just, you know, stay at home. What I really wanted to say is that the Jets, unfortunately, I've been a season ticket holder for the past 5 years. They are just a third-tier team. I mean, I'd go as far as to say that they're like a farm team. The way that they draft first-round picks and spit them out, and the way that they chew quarterbacks up and spit them out, you know, it's tough. It's tough to watch. You know, I want to continue being a Jets fan and, you know, continue buying season tickets, but it's, you know, it's tough. It's tough, man.
I get it. I absolutely understand where you're coming from, and you're well within your rights to feel that way. I mean, how else would you possibly feel when you look at what the results have been of all those players over the years? Now, the one thing I would tell you, and it's one thing that nobody with the Jets ever wants to hear, meaning the fans, and that's you got a new guy running the show. And he might have made a couple of moves this year that you didn't love, but I don't know how you can look at this draft class that just came from this past year and not be excited about it. Because seemingly, the majority of them are playing well or getting better. Even Ashton Davis is getting better. So I feel pretty good about all of that being the case. And I get it, Tyler. You want to be annoyed. You want to not trust them. They haven't given you a reason to trust them. It's building equity. The Jets have not built equity. It's like a bank account, right? Literally and figuratively, how many deposits have you made? And how many withdrawals have you been able to make? Every time you go to that ATM looking for some sort of happiness out of it, what comes up? We're out of money. You know, try us back Monday. We'll see where we're at. 800-919-3776. Mark in Syosset next. Mark, what's going on, dude?
Hey, Colin. How are you, pal?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm all right. So, other than getting depressed with all this jet talk, but Donald, I know, but it helps us. So I'm glad you're doing it. Thank you. Mm. But Donald, the kid gloves that this kid gets handled with is crazy. I mean, yeah, I know Gates is a moron, right? But it's the coach. He doesn't have his weapons. It's this, it's that. How about it's just him? He's not it. He's not the answer. You know, he's not the first round quarterback not to be it. So it's time to move on. He's got to go.
And the other thing is this. It wouldn't even be so much he's got to go if the better option wasn't presenting itself right away. You know, if you were in the middle of the first round and you still didn't have the answer on him, then I could see trying it out for another year. You know, if you were going to be a five-win team, something like that, the truth is you're not, and you have this incredible option lying in front of you. By the way, he's not going back to college. Trevor Lawrence, in fact, just took part in Senior Day the other day for Clemson. So he's leaving college. The big concern is going to be, is he going to say, I'm not playing for the Jets? And that's why
I don't see that happening.
I don't think it'll happen either, because I think Joe Douglas will have enough people in the right spot and the right head coach to be able to convince him that this is where he wants to be.
Well, that's the key, right?
You look at all they have to build around.
What do you think, head coach? You have any thoughts?
I mean, I don't see them doing something stupid like Jim Harbaugh. Right. I don't see them. I don't, what is the big name? Is there a big name? No, not really.
No.
So I think you have to go with the guy that you feel like is going to be really smart and a good offensive coach. And I think you're probably looking at somebody like Greg Roman, who's with the Ravens. And, you know, that's an organization that Douglas came up through and would trust somebody coming out of there. would kind of trust their pedigree there, if that makes sense. I can't sit here and tell you that he's going to be a great quarterback or a great great coach. I don't know that. But I think it's somebody like that. Or, look, if you want to follow the Giants' footsteps and you find somebody that you think is extra special and a good communicator, I can tell you exactly why this is working with Joe Judge. He's a tremendous communicator, and he's a people person. Somebody who is very familiar with Joe Judge told me this months ago. The reason why he will be successful versus all the other Belichick disciples is that he will be himself, and he is a people person who can connect with players, because a special teams coach has to connect with players. Those guys are not on the football team because they want to be special teams players. You know, you have to motivate those guys. You have to motivate them. You have to have them ready to play a role that they didn't necessarily sign up for. Ralph in Queens has an interesting thought. Ralph, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Carlin, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Ralph, how are you?
I'm good, I'm good. So the thing with the Jets, you look at the Jets and the Giants a few weeks ago even, they were in a similar place. Part of the problem with the Jets is the Jets fans like you. You want to tank. You want to lose. Something about the Jets fan just likes to lose. What other team has the fans calling up saying, hey, let's go out there and lose this week? You know? Like, why? You don't want to lose. You want to win. If you only get 3 wins, you only get 4 wins, you drop a few spots in the draft, it's all right. At least you have a winning attitude. You know?
Yeah, that's fine, but no.
So what I'm saying is,
no, if you're going to go to, like, no, you don't understand the mentality here. I get where you're coming from. This whole
what's the
culture
difference
stuff
between Daniel Jones, you know, like Daniel Jones isn't that much better than the Jets quarterback right
yes,
now.
Yes, he is.
What the difference is the culture. It's a
no,
culture.
It isn't.
Around him.
It's like, partially the difference, but the culture is not going to be set right now when the coach is on his way out. And you have gone through an absolutely miserable season, and you're just praying that there is something on the other end of it that comes
well,
out of it.
Well, it's not going to be a quarterback. You know,
why
quarterbacks,
not?
You still need an O-line. You still need
they have
a line.
Nine. They have
you
10 picks in the draft this year and $90 million to spend. 10 draft picks, $90 million this year. 2 ones, a 2, and 2 threes. 5 in the first
and
3 rounds.
Becoming,
what?
You know, if you tank, you know, coming into a team that has never won and doesn't even know how to win a game, no one on the whole team game in 2 years.
Yeah,
that's not how you win.
Your argument is so flawed, and thanks for the call. And the reason is, it's not understanding the mentality of the Jet fan. First of all, I'm not a Jet fan. But secondly, they're looking at this like, yes, I'm going through an incredible amount of pain. And they're actually watching these games and getting annoyed by how this team is losing. But you have to understand that they also want something good to come of it. And if it means Trevor Lawrence, they're going to be fine with it at the end. They're going to be okay with all that pain if it brings you that guy. If Trevor Lawrence becomes a Jet and you have all those picks and all that money, things can turn around relatively quickly. In a year? No. In 2? Maybe. Maybe 2 years from now. Maybe. I'll tell you what. Adam Gase is something, isn't he? We'll hear from him in a second on the whole play calling bit. But I mean, it's never just simple. It's never just, yeah, no, we did this, we didn't do that, we did this, we didn't do that, no, though. I mean, honestly, play calling for an 0-11 team has become a story for 4 weeks, easy, if not longer. I mean, I am tired of hearing about Patton Oswalt calling the plays. That's exactly who Dowell Loggins looks like. He's a Patton Oswalt clone. Like, if he got out of work, he could go reboot the King of Queens. He could absolutely do that. At any rate, I'm so tired of hearing about it. Here's the thing. I don't care because whoever is calling the plays is really bad at it, and that has been consistent throughout. That has been the case for quite some time. There is absolutely no inventiveness in what they do. How about fourth down? Let's give the ball to Frank Gore. Straight up and down. Oh, my Lord. Everybody knows what's coming, for Pete's sake. Everybody. So, in essence, if you are hoping to get the number one overall pick, I have come across this idea a few weeks ago, and now I absolutely believe it's fact. I think Adam Gase is still the coach and will continue to be the coach through the end of the year to ensure that the Jets lose every single game. And to them right now, that is actually earning your money. It is. For him, it's earning his money. Because if we know we're getting rid of you anyway, we may as well get something out of you. If you are just that bad, let's capitalize on your strengths. Let's try to make as much as we can out of what you do well. It's like I always talk about with Bill Belichick, right? When he looks at his players and he says, not going to worry about what you can't do. I'm going to worry about what you're good at, and I'm going to put you in position to do that. Well, that's what the Jets are doing right now with Adam Gase. They know he is not good at winning football games, so they don't ask him to do that. They know he is outstanding at losing football games, at being a bad head coach. And right now, that's exactly what they need in every facet. They need a bad football team. They need a bad head coach so that they can accomplish their goal at this point of the year. And that is ensuring they have the number one pick. And on Black Monday, he'll be gone. And frankly, if they finish 0-16, yeah, he'll get paid for next year already, but they should kick him a few extra bucks. Congratulations on a job done. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Russell on the car phone next. Russell, what's cooking?
Hey, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to put a hypothetical out there. Let's say it's week 17 and the Patriots are mathematically eliminated. Let's say the Jets still haven't won a game. And if you suspect Belichick's going to rest players, at what point do you think the GM maybe steps in and says, you know, we're going to shut Sam down. We're going to shut Quinnen down because they very well could win that Week 17 game.
And Sam's shoulder will start to feel a little bit sore. They will absolutely not let them win that game. They will not let that Jet football team win that game, meaning Joe Douglas and company, if they're sitting there at 0-15, and they know what Belichick's going to do. And you know Belichick's going to do it. Do you think there's any chance in hell that Cam Newton's going to play that game?
Zero.
Any chance? Do you think there's any chance in hell that Jared Stidham doesn't start that game for the New England Patriots? Of course he does.
Yeah,
and it's going to be under the excuse of we need to look toward the future and figure out what we have. No, Jared Stidham's bad, and they're going to put him out there to be bad to stick it to the Jets. It's just an added bonus for them. I don't think there's any question, and I think that you need to start formulating what your fake injuries are going to be right now.
Well, hopefully Joe Douglas is cognizant enough to realize what's on the line. Trevor Lawrence is a once-in-a-generational quarterback. I know Justin Fields is pretty good in his own right, and that would be a pretty good consolation prize, but from what I'm seeing, Trevor Lawrence is a real deal. So hopefully the Jets don't mess this one up. Thank you for taking
I agree. I think they're both the real deal, frankly. But more than anything, Belichick, it's the hatred of the Jets, but it's also understanding how good Lawrence is and not wanting him to be in the division. Now, granted, Bill is not going to be around for 15 years, but does anybody think he's not going to be around for the next five? I think he probably will be. I think Bill is going to do everything he can to keep the Jets from being good for as long as possible. Now, granted, most of the time, they have not needed his help. They have not needed his help. They've been able to do that all on their own. A couple of comments from the live stream. This from Zach. They need to lose out because Jacksonville won't win again. I went through it before. The only game that we would have some hope on Jacksonville winning would be against the Bears at home. Would be against the Bears at home. So, yes, you do need to do what you can. And you can sit here and say that Gay should have been gone early in the year, but right now, he's doing the job, people. Lonnie in Long Island is next. Lonnie, what's going on, dude? Lonnie! Oh, Lonnie. Lonnie called back. Jaquan Parsippany next on 98.7 ESPN. Jaquan, what's going on?
What's going on, Chris, man? Love the show. Love the show. I just had to give it to you, brother. You was absolutely right about Sam Darnold. I was holding out on it just a little bit, like, maybe we get all he gets all his weapons back. The dude's not it, man. And you just look what Joe Flacco did. It's like, I'd rather see Joe Flacco. At least I get to see what men's can be. See if Herndon can prove himself in the last few weeks. But Sam ain't it, man. There's no confidence there. It's just, I don't know if they're sabotaging him, like what's going on with him and Gase. But Adam Gase makes Jeff Fisher look like Andy Reid, man. He's that terrible. I guess you're right. Just let him stay there. Finish out their job, man. Just get us on the same team. Because like you said, I don't trust Bill Belichick. I don't trust Bill at all if the Patriots are out of contention. And just let him finish, man. But we got to, I don't know. I don't want to lose Trevor Lawrence. I don't think Trevor Lawrence stays in school regardless. He's coming out of the drive regardless. But it's disgusting, man. But Sam ain't it.
It's awful. Sam is not it.
He's not it, bro. And
I'm sorry for him because I think he could win in the right situation, Jaquan, and thanks for the call. The problem is that situation has to be perfect. And he's one of those guys in that third tier who can be a decent quarterback when he has enough talent, and you can win with him when he has enough talent around him. Jimmy Garoppolo last year was pretty good. And that was because he had a ton of talent around him. I don't want to put him in the Rex Grossman category. That was bad. You know, he's not Trent Dilfer. That was bad. Jake Delhomme, maybe. Brad Johnson, maybe. Kerry Collins, maybe. Yeah, I think he's right there with all of those guys. And when you have a chance to get the Hall of Famer, a guy that's got that potential, you have to go and do it. A lot of people on Twitter not too thrilled with one of my takes regarding the second and third tier quarterbacks, and not necessarily about where Sam belongs, because I think we're all clear on that, but more so about where, you know, I have Kurt Warner on the second tier of, you know, the all-time great quarterbacks. And Kurt Warner is not Brady, Manning, Mahomes. He's excellent, very good quarterback. Not there for long enough, and, you know, a guy that you could win with and was very, very good and had an all-time great season. But, you know, don't get mad when I compare him with Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan's won an MVP as well. You know, so let's not get nuts on that. But the grand point is this, that Sam belongs in this level of quarterback that is third tier that you can win with if everything around him is perfect. On Twitter, a couple of people checking in, at Chris Carlin. Smith checking in. Just go see Tannehill. Same things when Gase was the coach, and he's never been any good. Tennessee loves Gase now. Well, listen, Tannehill has gone there and has been much better. And, you know, the Gase case can no longer be made. RWL, putting Kurt Warner in the same sentence as Matt Ryan and Cam Newton has to be one of the most ridiculous comparisons ever. You seem to have no concept as to how to judge athletes. Well, Cam won an MVP, went to a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan won an MVP, went to a Super Bowl. Kurt won a Super Bowl and went to two others. Great player. Great player. Those two guys in their prime are great players too. Sean, you left an S off Manning's. I did not, Sean. Eli is that second tier of great quarterbacks. He's not in the same level as Brady, Manning, Mahomes, all that. And granted, I only fit onto Twitter what you guys saw, what I could fit, the 280 characters. Like Alan Zidrick said, there's this guy named Aaron for the first group. Yeah, I know that Aaron Rodgers is on that level. Kevin Michelson says, I am being very generous to Sam with this placement. Very generous. Wow. Wow. I mean, I thought I'm being accurate with Sam. I think that's what Sam can be. And I think that's absolutely fair. RMVP, or RMVT, checks in. In my opinion, there are some better names in that third tier. Eli Manning comes to mind. Now, I'm putting Eli in the second tier. As he says, nobody wants to admit it. Like, you can't have Eli in the first tier. We all know that. 800-919-3776. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. Lonnie in Long Island is back. Lonnie, what the hell happened?
Yes, I'm here, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, Lonnie. What do you got?
Oh, good. Well, hey, we saw Sam Darnold yesterday. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen enough of Sam Darnold for years. He's not the answer. We got the real deal coming. Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. We just have to get him. But he's not coming if Gase is there. I pray something. Gase cannot be there. We can't. They have to do something with him. He's not coming.
Well, Gase is not going to be here. You don't have to worry about that, Lonnie. Gase is going to be gone.
I hope
you're
right.
There is no case to be made to keep the head coach.
Trevor Lawrence is better than Sam Darnold right now.
Of course.
And right now he's better.
I don't disagree. Of course he is. All of this is true. Goodbye, Lonnie. Lonnie, come on. Come on. Bring material. Actually have it together. Come on. Let's hear some Gase from earlier. I want to hear Gase on the whole play calling thing because you got to love Rich Cimini, who just got right after it about the play calling. Here's Gase on who's calling the plays.
Adam, why did you take over the play calling?
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
Oh, my God. Seriously, why bother? And then earlier today, he's like, well, it wasn't full on. He was trying to explain it later on, and it really did not come together. I mean, geez. Why bother? Like, why are you lying about it? Because it's very clear you're not being truthful about the situation. We're not idiots. I mean, when you see the sideline, and on every play, you've got that stupid red pen, and you're talking, we could see your mouth moving through the mask. And Dal Loggins is off in the corner getting water for somebody. I mean, come on. Don't try to sell me that he gave you all three plays 10 minutes earlier. No, that's crap and you know it. How stupid. You see, that's the thing about Gase, that he will never get the benefit of the doubt from anybody outside the building, from the media, from any of that, because he constantly treats you as if you're a moron and you know nothing about football. Now, granted, do people know as much about football outside the building as Adam Gase does? I can guarantee you we don't. I guarantee you we don't. But we do know when someone's lying to us, and we do know awful football when we see it. So when you want to go and lie about it, like, what's the point, Adam? What is the ever-loving point? Just say, I took it back. Yeah, I was calling the plays today. We're trying everything we can right now to try to win games, even though that's not what's going on. He should have just said, yeah, I took it back because we are trying to lose. And frankly, my lack of inventiveness in calling plays was what was deemed necessary for today. I mean, did you guys see Frank Gore on fourth down and one when America knew we were going to give him the ball, when we did nothing in any kind of formation or motion to hide any of it? Did you see that? Do you think just anybody can do that? Do you know how much skill it takes to be this awful at coaching? Do you have any idea? Wow. That's why he'll never get the benefit of the doubt, because he treats everybody else like they're idiots. When you act as if you are the smartest guy in the room and you're not, that's a problem. He may be the smartest guy in the room, but give me the guy that wants to surround himself with the smarter people. That guy knows what he's doing. You know, the Giants winning the division is not necessarily the best thing, I think, for the future of the organization. What am I talking about here? If the Giants win the NFC East and they're hosting a playoff game, do you think Dave Gettleman's going to be gone? I don't see it. I think there's a strong chance he'll be back. And even if that's with six wins, because six is the magic number, okay? Six wins is going to get a division championship for somebody in the NFC East. And now with Daniel Jones out, and God knows how long, I mean, I'd have to think it's at least 2 weeks. And the Giants need two more wins. I think they can get it. I mean, they have a schedule that certainly lines up where they could win two games. At Seattle, obviously you're not going to win there, especially without Jones. Arizona at home, you're probably not going to win there. You could beat Cleveland at home. On the road at Baltimore. And then Dallas at home. So you need to win the Dallas game and one other game. And that's doable because you're going to break ties and everybody else. I mean, honestly, there is a possibility that five could actually win the division. There is a chance. Because look at what Washington's got left. Trip to Pittsburgh, trip to San Francisco, Seattle at home, Carolina at home, who gave the Vikings everything they could handle yesterday, and at Philadelphia. I mean, they could honestly win just one more game. That could happen. But the Giants winning the division, is that enough for Dave Gettleman to come back? I think some would argue that it is. And I think you can understand why they would argue that, because their defense is much better. Andrew Thomas is starting to look like a real left tackle in the league after half a season. He certainly looked a lot better yesterday. The arguments that go into whatever the whole disagreement was about the offensive line are out the window with how they're playing right now. And granted, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, but they're still an NFL team. I mean, put it all together. Leonard Williams looks better. He's got six sacks this year. Yeah, took a dumb penalty late in the game on roughing the passer. But Leonard Williams actually starts to look like the guy that the Jets drafted. And, of course, the Giants are going to have to pay him this offseason potentially if they want to keep him. It still wasn't smart to give up the draft picks for him, but he's starting to look like it. James Bradbury was an excellent pickup for them. He's been great. Logan Ryan has done a fantastic job for them. The moves that they have made them better, and Jones is looking the part. And ultimately, if he drafted the franchise quarterback and Jones is able to come back with this bad hamstring, still look good to finish out the season, let's hope. I'm going to say let's hope it's just 2 weeks. Because what we saw from Colt McCoy yesterday, which was exactly why you should have never remotely considered, as they didn't, benching Daniel Jones. Because Colt McCoy is awful. He may come in this week with more reps with the starters and be better, but Colt McCoy is not a guy you can win games with this football team. They're not good enough to do that. So with all of that in mind, what does it mean for Dave Gettleman? It means he's likely coming back if they win the division. Think about that for a second. winning five or six games, winning the NFC East, hosting a playoff game in a bizarre season where the entire division is awful, and a guy that we all thought was a lock to be out, a lock, suddenly returns again. It's amazing. It's amazing to consider it, and I don't think it's a good thing. He's done some good things, but I don't think he's somebody that you want building this football team for the long term. I still am not a Gettleman believer. And frankly, I was at the beginning, and that went away very, 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 very quickly. Very quickly. Come on. You know what? I'm watching the Seahawks-Eagles game, okay? Russell Wilson, it's scoreless in the second quarter. Russell Wilson hits DK Metcalf on a bomb. I have the Seahawks winning the game and Metcalf to score a touchdown on a boost on FanDuel. It's one of their super boosts, which, by the way, are usually excellent. So here we go. I got a bomb to Metcalf, scoring a touchdown and the Seahawks beating the Eagles. I mean, that's pretty good. I think it was plus 200 I got on it. Something like that. Something ridiculous like that. It wasn't bad, and I got to look it up now. But what happens? Metcalf gets tackled at the one. Come on! Can a brother get a win? Come on! That's annoying. Spike in New Jersey. What's up, Spike?
I took that boost also.
Did you?
My wife says, what are you screaming about? And then she heard you, so I feel better. Get it in there now, you bum!
And we some guy named That's Moore what, just caught a touchdown.
Is that Metcalf? No. Oh, no, you're behind me. Hey, listen. Nice win for Rutgers, man. Good call again.
Thank you.
I'm telling you. You're going to jump out of that booth one day. I'll be there to catch you. Won't be much of me left, but I'll be happy. They're playing great ball. And Shiano to me, I don't care if he's, was he 2-3 or whatever he is.
They're 2-4 right now, but they have been in every game. Even the Ohio State game that got away in the first half, they came back and played exceptionally well in the second half and, you know, cut it closer.
But you got to look at Fields, which is good. And they won the basketball game, which is all meaningless. Listen, I'm going to just say a couple of things to you. It's good to hear you. The world's crazy. You had a good weekend. And that lasagna, man, that puppy looked, is there any left or am I dreaming?
There's a little bit left.
Okay, you got a dog now. Don't forget, you got a dog.
I can't give the dog lasagna. The tomatoes are not good for the dog.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. That's all it was. My dog ate rocks.
I got the list. I can't give the dog any,
rocks. Come on. Okay, so here we go. Sam Darnold, as you predicted, he doesn't have it, Chris. He doesn't have it. There's something off with him. He rolls right. I heard Kay today, and Michael said he asked him. I felt terrible. It's like watching a hostage tape with that interview with him. He says, you roll right every time. You drop your back foot, and you say you don't want to do it, and you keep doing it. That's why Michael's so good, you know?
Hey, he's
and
not comfortable.
What's he going to say? He knows he doesn't belong here anymore. And I watch Daniel Jones, and every time I watch him, I see something a little better. And this running back they have, my name slipped my mind, the little guy who plows ahead, his feet never stop moving for the Giants.
Gallman?
Gallman. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, he's done a nice job, and it's taken a few years, Spike, and thanks for the call. It's been one of those things with Gallman where he was a guy from Clemson who was a pretty good running back in college, but he was never going to be a true starter in the league. And, you know, he's doing a good job here, going to end up earning himself some money as a North and South runner. He absolutely will. I mean, he's not going to break the bank, but he'll earn some money. Gallman's done a nice job for them. He really has. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. If the Giants win the division, you okay with Dave Gettleman coming back? The Jones injury yesterday. Look, It looks bad. It was a hamstring. They said today he's going to miss some time. And what that means to me is that he's going to miss at least two games. That's at least two games, if not more. And from a Giant perspective, it's unfortunate because does anyone think for a second that they'll win a game that you wouldn't necessarily expect them to with Colt McCoy at quarterback? No. Like, I could have built the case for the Giants in a couple of weeks to beat the Arizona Cardinals at home. I can't build that case right now. You know, the Cardinals come in east early game, and I know they came east to beat the Giants last year and all that. Like, I could actually see where that could happen. But in a case like this, without Jones, there's such a disparity between the two. And the thing that drives me the most nuts about this is primarily that Jones was playing so much better and really starting to get into a real groove and really starting to show exactly what he's capable of. But now you have to sit and wait. And I think 2 weeks is going to end up being optimistic. You know, I've heard things like, I heard DCR talking about this morning that he was or has been a guy that, I don't know if you'd call it a fast healer or just somebody who's particularly tough, who has been able to get to the, to come back from injuries sooner than would have been anticipated in cases when he was at Duke. And if that's the case, that's great. Where the one time he had surgery was projected to miss 3 or 4 weeks, but now he ended up coming back in like 2 weeks. You know, all of that is great stuff, okay? When you don't hear specifics about an injury like that, it makes me fear not the worst, but close to the worst. In other words, the Giants want to play coy with it because they know they haven't lost him for the entire season. Then they wouldn't even bother. But they do want to play coy with it because they know it's going to be a couple of weeks. But why do we need to tell our opponents it's going to be a couple of weeks? We don't need to do that. So I think it's at least 2 weeks, if not 3 or 4. And when you hear Jordan Renan's report that it was initially thought to be pretty bad, and then today you get the non-specific report that you got, I would tend to agree that it's at least that long. Here's what I'm saying to you. Hope, pray, if you truly want to win this division, if you truly are okay with that and Dave Gettleman potentially coming back, pray that this is only 2 weeks. Because then you do have a chance. Look, Cleveland's a good team. Cleveland's a really good team. Could the Giants beat Cleveland at home with Jones at quarterback? They probably could. They're not winning in Baltimore, and then we all know they have to beat the Cowboys in the last week of the year. That's all there is to it. And, you know, the Cowboys, in the position that they are in, are going to want to stick it to the Giants as much as they can. The Cowboys don't want anybody to go to the playoffs the way this year has worked out. Here's what, just quickly, I'll give you a quick rundown. So the Giants and Washington both with 4 wins, right? Giants at Seattle this week, Arizona, Cleveland, at Baltimore, Dallas. If you win 2, you're going to win the division. You win 2 out of 5, you go 2-3, you're winning the division with 6 games. You might even win it with just 1, and that's because Washington has a trip to Pittsburgh, a trip to San Francisco, Seattle, Carolina, and then at Philly. Dallas has at Baltimore, at Cincinnati, San Francisco, Philly, at the Giants. So that's no walk in the park. They obviously should get the Cincinnati game, but they're not going to catch the Giants. And Philadelphia's got at Green Bay, New Orleans, at Arizona, Dallas, and Washington, at Dallas and Washington, in addition to this game tonight, which they're down 7-0 as we speak. Carson Wentz is awful. God, Carson Wentz is terrible. I can't believe this is the same quarterback I watched when I was down there for that first 10, 11 games of the 2017 season, because this guy is completely lost. And there was a report earlier today that Jeffrey Lurie said, let's see some Jalen Hurts. I've seen enough Carson Wentz. Owner getting involved. 800-919-3776. Oh, yes. Sound up the alarm. You know what's coming. Adjust accordingly. Richard in Manhattan. Richard, what's up, baby?
Chris, another great Rutgers game. You've done all these Rutgers games this year. It's like a lifetime of games, boy. What a game.
It's been a good game. It's been a good year for having some good games. And
they're 2-4 now, right? 2-4
in the big,
and all
right
four.
Now, Richard, I'm just hoping that they get to keep playing with the way things are working out with COVID.
So, who do they have left on? Do they have Penn State left on the schedule
Penn State this week, and then next week two weeks at Maryland. And then there is one last game that is supposed to be a crossover game that the Big Ten will wait till the last week of the year to announce who you're playing based on your standings. When I say crossover, I mean East Division versus West Division.
Oh, is the Penn State game in Penn State or at Rutgers?
At Rutgers.
They've beaten Penn State, right? At Rutgers?
Not in a long time.
And they've never beaten Penn
State. They played Penn State very tight. A couple of times at Rutgers, but never quite got over the hump. Last time they beat him, I think, was 88.
Okay, and they've never beaten Penn State at Penn State.
No, they did. They did.
They've beaten them both at Rutgers and at Penn State.
I believe the game was at Penn State, the 1988 game.
Oh, that's the only time they've beaten them?
They've beaten them twice.
Oh, twice. Yeah. Okay. If they win this week, wow.
It would be a great week. Yeah. Listen, Richard, more than anything, you know what this is about. You need to see teams that are progressing and programs that are getting better.
Are you kidding? They were a joke. Everyone was saying they shouldn't even be in the Big Ten. This has been a great year. They brought Eastern College football back.
I'm not tearing it down, Richard. I'm saying you're seeing a great deal of progress, and the case could be made that they're the most improved team in the country.
Of course. Sure. Them in Indiana. Indiana's been pretty good,
too. But they just lost their quarterback for the year.
Right.
I feel bad. That Michael Penix Jr., that kid's a dynamic player.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chris, the Giants, I think, have finished. Are you kidding? Colt McCoy versus Russell Wilson? Colt McCoy versus Kyler Murray? How are the Giants going to have a chance?
I don't think they can win those two games, Richard.
And that's,
if they're
going to
miss those two games. But the problem is, Richard, everybody in the division stinks. Everybody stinks. So,
yeah, but the chances are either Washington or Philly will win one of the two. I mean, it's going to be very difficult.
Here's what Washington has left. Is Washington winning on the road in Pittsburgh?
No.
No. Are they winning on the road in San Francisco?
No.
No. Are they beating Seattle at home? No. They might beat Carolina, and they might have a chance at Philadelphia. Those are their two chances.
We just have to depend on everyone else losing. That's it. That's our only hope.
I think the Giants could win with five, will win with six.
You know,
I'm looking at two games, Richard. If the Giants can beat Cleveland at home and Dallas at home, I think they're their two best chances.
Chris, nobody mentioned,
assuming they have Jones back by then.
Nobody mentioned the Giant game yesterday. To me, the biggest factor for the Giants in winning the game, the field goal kicker. That guy is money in the bank, boy.
He is. Graham Gano's done a tremendous job.
What a weapon.
Yeah. Graham Gano's done a tremendous job for him, Richard, and thanks for the call.
Pleasure, Chris, always.
Yeah. You know, Graham Gano's been great. And it doesn't exactly get me excited. I'd like to see some more touchdowns scored. But, you know, that's one of those games yesterday that it doesn't make me feel great. And it's aside from Daniel Jones getting hurt, aside from that, what in that game has you excited about the Giants? Like, that was a second half that should have been put away relatively easy. And frankly, the game should have been put away on the Logan Ryan strip. But they haven't been good enough. The field goal kicker was great. They need to score more touchdowns, and that's an obvious statement. But I don't look at them yesterday and say, wow, I feel amazing about the Giants and look at how great this is and all that. I mean, let's be fair. They were fortunate to win. They were fortunate to win. DK Metcalf just got ran out of bounds at the three. You're killing me. You're killing me. Come on, DK. Get into the end zone. 800-919-3776. Who's next? Oh, the great Huey in St. Louis is next. Huey, what's going on, dude?
Carlin, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
You realize I follow Richard almost every time.
Really?
It's amazing how that happens.
Next time
I'll
make sure that you get out in front of him.
It's yeah, you know, I never, when I hear that siren go off, I never know what's coming next, you know. So, hey, before I get to the Giants, what do you make all this Manish stuff with Douglas?
I talked about this a little bit last week. It's troubling, it's awful, and I believe every word of everything. And the reason is I've heard too many stories over the years about Manish for it not to be true. And I know that sounds strange, but there are things that I know are factually true. I know that he went up to Joe Douglas's kid at the Phillies game. I know that happened. It was
How does
Phillies
he know
game.
Who Joe Douglas's kid is?
I don't know. And that's what's troubling.
That to me is disturbing.
That's very disturbing. I know that he tormented, and I mean tormented, other reporters on the beat, especially female reporters on the beat. I know that he... at one point, absolutely said, look, you be a source, you give me stuff, I'll write good things about you, and if you don't, I won't. I'll write bad things about you. I'll blame everything on you.
How is he still
a lot of things with him?
It's amazing to me because he still has a job.
He nearly got in a... Here's another one that people in the industry know about. It's not known about publicly very much. John Schneider, the general manager of the Seahawks, and he nearly had a physical altercation at the Senior Bowl because he would not leave Schneider alone trying to dig up as much dirt as he could on John Edzik. And wow. Schneider really came close to knocking him out. And it didn't happen. They later actually had a discussion and cleared the air, so to speak. But just the fact that that would happen is sickening.
There's no professionalism there. There's no journalism, the journalistic integrity ever with this guy.
No, and by the way, sickening. Still employed by the Daily News.
Which is amazing.
I don't know what's going on there.
That paper's kind of gone to hell the last couple of years anyway with all the different layoffs and things. But, hey, well, switching gears to the Giants real quick. So my take is regardless of how Jones is feeling, you know, play him this week. If you can get him back for the Arizona game, that's great. When I looked at the schedule, I chalked up the Seahawks game as a loss anyway. So yeah, we know Colt McCoy is not going to beat the Seahawks. And even if Jones is in there, it's still going to be a challenging game. I'd rather see him back at near full strength, if possible, against the Cardinals and take your chances there. And I think if he is full strength, they would have a shot at beating the Cardinals, but I know that's going to be a tough one. But I agree with you at this point. I think if they get to five, you know, they probably get in. If they get to six, I think they seal the deal. And
six,
as I mentioned to you last week,
if they win six games, the division is locked up.
I just want to see this team get in. I don't care what the record is. Get a playoff game under their belt and have that as one more thing to build on. Because no matter what the record is this year, I think they're heading in the right direction. And again, we talked about this last week too. I'm intrigued to see what happens with Gettleman because this draft class this year for him is turning out to be fairly strong. And the free agent signing. So I'll be interested with what Mara and Tisch do with him after the season.
Huey, if they win the division, I think he's staying.
He's coming back.
Yeah. Are you okay with
and
that?
Would you rather have him back
and win the division or not?
I actually like what he's done this year, and I don't know if he was the driving force behind Joe Judge or if that came from someone else, because I think clearly they finally got the coach right, because since Coughlin, it's been a tough go.
He wasn't making the decision. If you remember the Maras talking about it, if you remember John Mara talking about it, it was pretty clear that the ownership was going to be making the decision on who the coach was, and he would get a little bit of say, but it wasn't going to be a whole lot.
Well, I tell you what, despite you know, the record, and despite the fact they had some of the drama with Colombo, I mean, it's Judge's locker room. It's his team, and clearly there's a ton of respect there. I think they've built a fairly nice culture, and I have to laugh. I was looking back at some old Facebook posts from last year. A buddy of mine who's a diehard Jet fan sent me a note last year that said, "Jet Giants are heading in the wrong direction. At least the Jets are going in the right one." So I got a kick out of that when I saw it this afternoon.
I think the Jets will be after this year. If they get the right coach, I believe that they will actually be headed that way because they've got too many assets to not start getting better, Huey. And thanks for the call as always, brother.
Take care.
I think that when you have 10 draft picks, five of which are in the first three rounds, and $90 million of cap room, and you may have the number one overall pick in the draft, there's too much there to not get better. Honestly, there's just too much.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.